I just want to share one verse this morning, and I heard it read a little while ago, and it really grabbed me, and I thought, this is what we're going to look at Easter Sunday morning. And it's Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8 is just a phenomenal chapter, and you could spend weeks and weeks, and we have in this church spent weeks and weeks and weeks exploring the depths of this wonderful chapter. But it says just one verse, and I'm going to look at it for a few moments now. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Let me give you a bit of King James version. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, this is the phrase, quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It's that phrase, quicken your mortal bodies. I'm going to come on to that in a few moments' time. Now, Tony and I have a little bit of friendly rivalry, don't we, Tony? And we have this little competition to see who's got the greenest fingers. So Tony grows things, and I had a year off last year, I have to say, and I was getting pictures of rhubarb, and so this year I thought, right, I'm going to go for it. Not, of course, because of our friendly rivalry, but because I really enjoy growing things. So over the past few months, I've been sending Tony pictures. No, I haven't. I started growing things, and I've put loads of seeds in little pots, and you know, I've got these little greenhousey things, and I built a raised bed, and I'm getting quite excited about it because things are really. Any other gardeners amongst us? Things are really growing at the moment, aren't they? So it's almost like daily they grow, and so I'm really excited about the things that are growing in my garden. I have to say the slugs have yet to appear. I need tips. I need tips. Doesn't work. Shotgun. Yeah. Okay. No, this stop it now, all right? Suddenly it's turned into gardener's question time. Anyway, so now some of you know that I've got a nice new shiny garden office. And my shiny new garden office is in the garden. Clues in the name. Can we have the picture up? This was me. If you look really carefully, you can see the picture of me in my dressing gown taking that picture this morning. It was very early. But I've built this raised bed, and it's just above the window where my desk is. So every day I sit at my desk and I watch these little beetroot shoots coming through. And I tell you, they're beautiful. They don't grow beetroot. It's beautiful, vibrant purple. You don't go, I took a picture there. You don't really get the colour, but they're shiny. And anyway, that's just what's making me excited at the moment. Coming up right before. Now, what has this got to do with this passage? You just have to bear with me, Tony, all right? You have to bear with me. So why am I saying this? Well, this verse from Romans that we're looking at, this Resurrection Sunday, and this day when we are going to be baptizing people, has a little phrase in it that I want us to focus on for a few minutes as we prepare for these guys to be baptized, and then also as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's there, it says this. It says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And then in the King James Version, as we read, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Now, quicken is not a word we hear very often these days, is it? It's not one that I particularly would use, but this is what it says. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it says this, to make alive, revive, to cause to be enlivened, stimulate, kindle, to cause to burn more intensely, to make more rapid, to hasten. You look in the original language of the Bible, the New Testament Greek, the word is Now, the proper pronunciation is zoo-o-e-e-o. It looks like zupio, so I'm going to say zupio, okay, because I really like that word, zupio. So that's the word in the original language. And then I looked in my little Bible dictionary, and this is what the word means: alive, to make alive, bring life, bring to life, to restore life. And here's the phrase, and suddenly, listen to this, Tony. This is why it will all make sense, why I'm talking about my garden. This word means used botanically of plants germinating and sprouting. Okay, that's why I'm talking about my seeds in the garden. Because this word that's in that passage is about new things coming into growth. Seeds germinating and taking root and growing. And then it also talks of bodily resurrection and of spiritual resurrection, to make spiritual alive, impart spiritual life to those who are dead in their sins. I'm in my garden at the moment. I'm surrounded by zupio. Yeah? I'm surrounded. I look out my window. There. I look in my little greenhousey things. Boom, boom, boom. Look so excited. Do you know what? We are surrounded by zupio today, aren't we? You know? New life. New life. And we're going to hear about this in a few moments when these guys come up and talk about what God is doing in their lives, how they've got to this point today. Sprouts and shoots of new life and growth. That is what we're surrounded by. Shoots of new spiritual growth. That's what we're celebrating both this Easter weekend, this resurrection weekend, but also this baptismal Sunday. Let's just think about this for a moment or two. I don't know, you know, I mentioned Friday already. We had a special time on Friday, I thought. I thought it was a good, good time. And Megan and the guys, the team that led us, did it so brilliantly. You did this amazing job of unpacking, explaining the resurrection, also the crucifixion, and then on to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How this revolutionary act was a total and utter world changer. It was, according to that book that Megan quoted from, which I've read half of, the day the revolution began. It's the day where God intervened so powerfully and amazingly in our world to put right that which had gone so wrong. God started to put right that which had gone wrong through the sending of his son who was fully man, so he could fully represent humanity, that we could relate to him and seek to live according to his pattern. But he was also fully God, so that his death would be truly representative for all humankind. We heard how this one act Christ did, the one who had no sin, became sin because of his great love for the world. He took upon himself the curse of rebellion, humanity's selfishness. Remember, that's what Megs was talking about, the selfishness of humanity, turning its eyes upon itself. And in doing so, he died. But then we read how we're celebrating today, how he has risen from the dead. I want to quote from the same guy that Meg's quoted from, actually, because I think he's got some good things to say. This is what Tom Wright says: the only way he, Jesus that is, believed that his great anti-creation power could be stopped and defeated would be for him, Jesus, anointed with God's Spirit, to fight the real battle against a real enemy, to take the full power of evil and accusation upon himself, to let it do its worst so that it would thereby be exhausted, its main force spent. And then he goes on and says this: Jesus' own mind, heart and body would be the battlefield on which the victory would be won, as they were also the temple in which the powerful, loving presence of Israel's returning God had made his home. And then this final phrase, just so good: rolling back the sticky tide of sin and death. Rolling back the sticky tide of sin and death. That is what we're celebrating today. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, rolling back the sticky tide of sin and death. Friends, that is why zupio is possible. That's why it's that new life day today and every day. There's a poem I just love. I love it. I was going to show it all, but I'll save it for another time. I've shown it before. It's called God Gazer. And this is what it says in that, about that day when Jesus broke free from the tomb. He says, on a morning many winters ago, the tomb was open, the curse was broken. Death had to let go, and recreation burst out of an old wineskin like water from a geyser. like the cry of a child pushed into the world, and nothing would shut him, Jesus, up. That's what we're celebrating today, isn't it? That's what we're going to see and we're going to hear about in a few moments' time. The poem goes on, I want to be a world changer. And you know, I think that's a fair thing that we can say as Christians. I want to be a world changer because it started, because the vanguard is on the move and love is pushing out hate and light is shining in the darkness. And the darkness can't understand it, beat it, change it, hide it, kill it, stop it, win. Yeah? Or, as we read these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. This is the promise, the gift of those who have turned their minds and their hearts to Christ. To those, as these guys will testify to in a few moments' time, have professed, they've openly and freely declared repentance towards God and faith in Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you given your heart and your life to Him? Have you turned your heart and your mind to Him? You know, over these past few Sundays, I don't know about you, I've really enjoyed looking at this little passage from 2 Corinthians. And it's opened up this to us, and we've been thinking about what it means to be in Christ, to what it means to be a Christian. And we've seen how when we're in Christ, we accept this and we connect with Him. There's a renewing that takes place within us. There's a new outlook and an attitude that starts to come upon us, and it's rooted in the renewed, the born-again part of who we are. It's where He dwells within us and where we connect with Him. And it's what we're going to celebrate as these guys go into this water in a few moments' time when they are baptized. I read a quote this week, and this is what it says. It says, In baptism, those who opened up their heart to the gospel and have publicly identified with Him are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It's a looking beyond this, the natural, and looking to what God is doing in the spiritual in us. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because that which is often so hidden is actually meant to shape and change who we are. It's supposed to impact our mortal flesh. Yeah? It's supposed to impact the way we live our lives, our relationships, our work, our homes. It's supposed to impact every part of who we are. That's what this passage is telling us about. This quickening, this new life in our mortal bodies. I don't know about you. I know, Jem, you've been kind of working with Grace, just getting her ready for today. Callie with Sharon. Catherine, where are you? You're there, hiding. You only decided last Sunday, God spoke to you. I'm going to let you tell the story, you don't need to say, but Catherine and I got together this week, and it was such a privilege to sit and hear your story, to hear how God had brought new life into you. And I know that Sharon and Grace, the story for you is the same. We heard this week, as we sat and talked, I heard and I saw what we're trying to explain today. That God, by His Spirit, quickened, brought new life to Catherine, and we're going to hear for Sharon and Grace. But you know, how many times have we baptized people here over the years? Many, many times. How many times have we heard these stories of God bringing new life? How many of us here, sat here as Christians today, have stories to tell, testimony of God quickening us, bringing new life because of that resurrecting Spirit at work within us? That is what we are celebrating. It's a Zupio day today, yeah? It's a Zupio. It's a new life day today. That is what we are celebrating. On Thursday evening, we had this lovely time where we just gathered round, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't quite sure how much to prepare and how much not. I got carried up in the day, and so I wasn't as prepared as maybe I could have been. So I was, as the official phrase goes, blagging it. So I said, whoever wants to come and give thanks for the bread and the wine, just come. and hold the bread and hold the wine. And wasn't it a precious time as people just came forward and gave thanks for different aspects of this weekend, what it meant to them. But Janet, you said something that I want to just touch on. You talked about this dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This interconnected, this mutuality, this preferring of one another within the Godhead, within the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I don't know if you know there's a word for this. Pete, you know the word for it. What is it? That's the word. Perichoresis. The holy dance of Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's about this community in connectedness between the Father and Son. And that's why, everyone's seen that, the Celtic knot. That's what it reflects, this connection, this flow within the Godhead. I think our passage today reflects that holy dance. Because we've got a resurrecting Father, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. We've got a resurrected Son, the one who went to the cross, entered the grave, and rose victorious. And we have a resurrecting Spirit bringing to bear the reality of that into the hearts and the lives of those who put their trust in Him. And He has come to live in. If you've given your hearts and your lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit is living in you today. Made His dwelling, His home. Isn't that exciting? Wonderful, wonderful. I came across this quote by accident. Let's put that next slide on. And those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music. I mean, Nietzsche. It's true, isn't it? It's true. You know, there were some who will look upon this, what's about to happen, and they'll just go, really? You're going to get dunked in front of all those people? Isn't that a bit weird? Isn't it a bit odd? Well, in the world's eyes, yeah. But that's because they haven't heard the song. They haven't heard the tune, have they? Did you hear it earlier when we were singing? I love you. I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. I want to be in relationship with you. Will you give your heart and your life to me? I'll come and pour my Spirit into you. I'll make you alive. I'll make you a new creation. I'll change you from the inside out. I'll heal your heart, your mind, your soul, your body. Come and do what I do. Quicken your body. Quicken your life. Did you hear it? Did you hear that song? That's the song we're listening to, isn't it? That's the song. That's the music that we have heard. And it's a beautiful thing because what these guys do when they get into that water is they're just dancing. Yeah? And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Have you heard the music? Have you heard the song? It's a song of God's love for you. I feel like I want to dance. There's not enough space here. One day.